Chapter 12. Managing Tenants. The story, as good as the people we work with. Our property manager drove a 1996 Ford Taurus, one of the ugliest cars I know, and I almost think she deserved it. We met her after buying two rental houses situated on one lot on the Gulf Coast in Florida. The two houses came rented, and this property manager, who also listed them, came with them as a package deal. I had walked by the place a few weeks prior, and that experience hadn't been that good. An angry dog on the loose tried to bite me. Given that little incident, I was a bit reluctant when my wife said those houses were up for sale and that we should go see them. My reluctance disappeared after she told me what they were asking. If we could get hold of the property on or below asking price, we would be looking at a 25% return on our investment. And the good news didn't stop there. That return would be achieved with a property manager taking care of them for us. It almost sounded too good to be true. We met the realtor at the property and did a walkthrough on which we were pretty happily surprised about how nice the houses were. The realtor told us she had been the property manager for the previous owner and that she would like to continue taking care of the place. She had one tenant living in one of the houses and a second one on the way for the other house. She would charge us 8% for her job and promised we wouldn't have to take care of anything. My wife and I looked at each other and thought, this is the deal of a lifetime. We negotiated the price a bit and then ended up buying the property with a 10% discount a few days later. The realtor that was now our property manager promised us she would run the place smoothly and there would be no problems whatsoever. She had put both those tenants in and she knew them very well. We were supposedly in very good hands. During the first few months, it all seemed fine. My wife and I felt good about having her help, and we got our money without having to do anything. Since the houses were in good shape and under professional management, we figured we could start on our next project. So we bought a few more houses down the street. As we were working on getting the new houses in order, some of the locals started dropping by, and we soon found out that the tenants living in the houses our property manager took care of weren't as good as she said. Rumors of drug deals and rent that started coming in later and later slowly raised a red flag. Luckily, it was just one of the two tenants, but still a problem. We got nervous and decided to talk to our property manager, who gave us a flood of excuses in poorly written text messages. It didn't feel good, and we knew the situation was less than ideal. The whole thing threw us into a bit of a moral dilemma. Even though the potentially drug-dealing tenant's rent started coming in later and later, he always paid. And even though his property always looked like a mess, he cleaned up a little once we told the property manager to tell him to clean. And even though we knew he was not the type of person we wanted to be in business with, we made really good money on the property as it was. Since we wanted to make as much money as we could from that property, we left the property manager and her potentially drug-dealing tenant for almost 2 years, hoping that he would move out on his own. But he didn't. After 2 years of emotional pain, we kind of hit a point where we decided we didn't want to be a part of it all anymore. That year, when our property manager called us, as she does every year, to ask for our permission to renew the lease, we said no. We told her that we would not renew his lease and that it was now her job to get him out, something she wasn't too happy about. Since the communication with this property manager of ours was very poor, it was hard to know what was going on. But we got hints from her that she had made it clear he had to move out at the end of his lease. That date came, but no one moved anywhere. When we called and asked her about it, she let us know that she had told him, but he had stayed anyway. Not good. We needed to figure something else out. After some thinking, my wife and I decided to tell the tenant that we would be willing to offer him $500 if he would move out and give us the place back before the end of the month. She got back to us a few days later, telling us that she had let him know we would be willing to pay him if he moved out and that he should be moving shortly. She had even seen him starting to pack some of his stuff. That sounded very good, but she had given us false hope before, so we decided to wait with the celebrations and see what happened. This, sadly, turned out to be the right move because nothing happened. Or when I say nothing, something did actually happen. He decided to stop paying his rent. There was now a potentially drug-dealing tenant living in one of our houses without paying rent, and a property manager we couldn't really communicate with trying to get him to move out. We were moving closer and closer towards an eviction, and that property manager would have to be the one doing it, because our contract with her didn't allow anything else. I wanted things to go smoothly, so I decided to go and meet with the tenant myself. Our conversation made it clear how poor the communication with our property manager had been. There were several problems with the house that the property manager forgot to tell us about. She had also managed to upset the tenants bad enough for them to never answer when she called or visited. We didn't want to get in trouble as owners, so we decided to fix whatever problems there were with the house before moving ahead with the eviction. An eviction we felt even stronger about after seeing how the tenants were running our poor little house into the ground. There were several broken windows, broken doors, holes in the drywall, and a ton of debris everywhere. They were putting out cigarettes on their bedroom carpet, and there were needles all over the floors. They ignored all warnings, and they still weren't paying rent. Eviction was the only way to go. Our property manager did her best to get the eviction process started, but made a few mistakes which led to a 2-month delay. Once it finally got to the judge, we were scared to death about them winning because she hadn't filed some stuff the right way. Luckily, the judge was a fair man, and we eventually got them out of there so that we could start cleaning all their junk out. It took us a month of hard labor to get it back in shape, and all those repairs were a direct result of a bad tenant abusing the house for 2 years. Once everything had settled down, we decided to fire the property manager and rent the house ourselves, which worked out great. Now, remember how I said there were two houses on this property? Here comes the story about the tenant in the second house. He was a young, kind, and hard-working man. He had a good attitude and was not into drugs. He drove a clean car, and he kept his house clean. This guy was also under the same property manager until we decided to take over his lease. He had been in our house almost as long as the drug-dealing tenant, but he had done everything right. He had paid his rent on time and taken good care of his property. He had only had one encounter with the property manager, to whom we paid 8% commission every month. That was when his water heater broke. He told her it wasn't working, and she texted us something like this: "Wheat broken on house. Why fix?" I went out and met the tenant, who showed me what the issue was so that we could have it taken care of. So, what is the moral of this story? Property manager or no property manager, make sure to get good tenants in your house and keep a good line of communication with everybody to avoid misunderstandings. The story in numbers. Monthly income, while having the property manager and the potentially drug-dealing tenant, we ran the property like this for 2 years. Rental income equaled $450 plus $700, equaling $1,150. Vacancy loss, $0, but the drug-dealing tenant didn't pay his last 3 months. That totals $1,350. If we divide that over the 24 months we used to pay the property manager, it equals just over $56 per month. Total income equals $1,094 per month. Monthly expenses while having the property manager and the potentially drug-dealing tenant. Taxes equaled $40. Management fee, $115 plus $24 equals $139. 10% of $1,150 equals $115, plus half of the first month's rent for both units divided by 24, equaling $700 plus $450 divided by 2 equals $575 divided by 24, equaling $24. Insurance equaled $40. Utilities equaled $15. We pay the water as it's split between the two houses. Repairs and maintenance equaled $40. Loan payments equaled $0. We paid cash. Total expenses equaled $274 per month. The house created a monthly profit of $1,094 minus $274, equaling $820, which equals a yearly profit of $9,840. The cash-on-cash return is calculated by taking the annual cash flow, rental income minus expenses, and dividing that with money invested in the house. In this case, $9,840 divided by $51,000, equaling 0.193 or 19.3%. After letting the manager go, the property looks a little different. We got a new tenant and increased rent on that house. We also got the existing tenant to pay a little bit extra because he didn't have to deal with the property manager anymore. Monthly income when managed by us. Rental income equaled $695 plus $740, equaling $1,435. Vacancy loss equals $0. Total income equals $1,435 per month. Monthly expenses. Taxes equal $40. Management fee equals $0. Insurance equal $40. Utilities equal $15. We pay the water as it's split between the two houses. Repairs and maintenance equal $40. Loan payments equal $0. Total expenses equal $135 per month. The house created a monthly profit of $1,435 minus $135, equaling $1,300, which equals a yearly profit of $15,600. The cash-on-cash return looks like this. $15,600 divided by $51,000 equals 0.305 or 30.5%. The facts. Angry calls late at night, clogged toilets on a Saturday, tenants who won't pay, people who demolish your house, threats of lawsuits and a long list of things that can be even worse. Doesn't sound like fun, does it? There are tons of horror stories that scare the crap out of us, and that's good. It will help us to better understand the business of managing tenants. I have found that life is nothing but never-ending challenges. Living life means dealing with those challenges, and the better we get at it, the easier life becomes. When dealing with tenants, you will turbocharge the amount of challenges in your life. Because of that, your ability to manage them will reflect how well you do as a landlord. I know the initial part of this chapter sounds pretty terrible, but in the end, I think it's important to know what you are getting yourself into. If you have the right mindset and attitude towards what's coming, it will be a walk in the park. If you are someone who reacts very negatively to any setback or hiccup in your life, you are in for a pretty rough ride. As a whole, my experience is that at least 80% of all tenants behave well and fulfill their part of the deal. That means most people you rent to will be nice to deal with. If you end up with real troublesome tenants, you are having bad luck, and if you learn from it, you can most likely avoid these types of people when renting your property a second time. There are a few different ways of managing tenants depending on how much help you want with it. You can take care of your tenants yourself, partly, or have a property manager do all the work. It's all about figuring out what you value most, ease of mind or money. The typical property manager will usually charge half of the first month's rent every time a new tenant moves in, and then 10% of their rent on top of that. It buys you someone who deals with all tenant interactions, answers all phone calls, and collects rent. The property managers usually have their own legal team and their own accounting department, so there's not much left for you to care about. The next step is to decide who takes care of repairs and maintenance. If you are a handy person and enjoy doing work yourself, it will save you a lot of money. If you don't have the skills, time, or passion for manual labor, you can find a property manager with their own crew of handymen. When making these decisions, you will have to figure out what you value most. Do you want a completely passive income, or do you want to maximize the profit from every single investment? Is your rental house located next door or a few hours away? Can you make better money elsewhere if someone runs the rental property for you? What kind of tenants will your rental property attract? It is a tricky decision, but if you have done your homework and bought a good income-producing property, you will be fine either way. If you just make sure to provide a good house and value to your tenants, money will come. More money if you take care of it all yourself. A little less if you decide to use a property manager. Fully managed or not, there can still be times when you have to get involved in the decision making. This happens if there are major investments needed or when bad tenants go rogue. I know this is a pretty boring conversation to have, but being prepared for occasional bad events will make them a lot easier to deal with. One of the most classic problems is tenants who stop paying rent. What I recommend is to demand a security deposit that equals a month's rent or more. Make sure to get hold of this money before letting anyone move in. It gives you some reserves to use if problems occur. I also recommend you try to talk to them and figure out why they aren't paying. Some people just hit hard times and have the ambition to catch back up. These types of people are often willing to keep an open dialogue, and they tend to stay true to their word. There are also people who stop paying rent and then start to scream at you instead. They tend to bash everything in the house, call the county, and threaten to file lawsuits. These types of people are hopeless and usually have no intention whatsoever of fulfilling their part of the deal. Bad people like that will have to go. The formal way to get rid of renters is to file an eviction. You can find real estate attorneys who will help you with that process. The problem with evictions is that they might take a long time and they cost a fair bit of money. I therefore recommend you try to buy them out before you start evicting. Renters do better without evictions on their record, so an option is to tell them you will forgive all rent they owe and pay them the money you would have spent on evicting them if they move out right away. I know it can be hard given you are probably very angry at them, but in the end, all you want is to get rid of them as quickly as possible so we can get back to renting the house. Some will take this deal, some won't. Just remember to make sure they are out and you have changed the locks before you give them the money. They should also sign a form saying that they are no longer renting from you. If you have bad luck, renters can be nothing but trouble. That sucks, but know that it might happen. When it does, stay calm and just deal with it. They can create a lot of problems, but nothing you can't solve. Just be cool, and you will be on the other side before you know it. There might be times when you think it isn't worth it, but those times will go away. Just stay strong. Something that helped me a lot was to read about people in similar situations. There have been many of them. I study their cases, make sure to read up on the laws, and educate myself about the situation I'm in. It makes tough circumstances a lot easier to deal with. My communication with tenants and property managers always goes through emails. When you stick to emails, you will always be able to save all communication if you ever need to prove your innocence. Everything that has been said and promised is saved, and that eliminates all risk of ending up in a he said, she said type of situation. You also avoid confrontation. When people are forced to sit down and write instead of talking on the phone or in person, they can't yell at you or create a heated discussion or situation. Action items. Always be professional and keep as much of the communication as possible in written form. Avoid getting too personal and friendly. Let business be business. Be a good landlord. Make sure you fulfill your end of the deal. If they have problems that are your responsibility to fix, endeavor to fix them. If times get tough, stay calm. Try to always have a little buffer saved up so you can afford to wait out some problems or evictions when they occur. Remember that 80% of all renters tends to be good and honest people, and that the setback is temporary. Everybody who has managed to own real estate over long periods has made good money. Don't let temporary defeat get to you.